Jeremy or John?
No, we got, there's battery left in it, it's just that we're almost done.
So, we'll call the meeting to order.
What's that?
Call the meeting to order. Just starting out with any additional corrections to the agenda, and there is a deletion, the summarized discussion. Matt Dawson was unable to attend, so he's gonna come most likely at our next meeting. The approval of the minutes, is there a motion, a second to approve the minutes?
I saw more.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion approved. Moving on to the public forum, is there anybody here to speak at the public forum? Seeing that there's nobody here to speak at the public forum, we'll move to the Four Seasons Shelter. Rob, do you wanna start that off?
Actually, we'll pass it on to Kurt.
Well, we have.
Who's our project manager for the city of Wilmer.
Bob Sletty from Ram Construction is here to talk about the update. He's a job site supervisor. I guess, whatever I got to say, I think everything's going smooth out there. We had some issues with some weather and stuff like that. We didn't get probably a lot of the outside stuff done this spring, or this fall, and we'll have to wait until next spring to do it, but it sounds like, well, plenty of time to do that, hopefully if Mother Nature helps out with that. But I'll turn it over to Bob.
So right now what we're doing, the roof is all done, we're working on the inside. Plumbers are inside right now doing the plumbing. Roofers are gonna be here Friday to ice and water the whole roof so it's water roughed in, and then measure it all up, and then the roofing material will be here in 3 weeks. Our windows and doors are due right around Christmas time, right before Christmas. We gotta get them in before now because Marvin shuts down for 2 weeks every year. So the plan is right now is we're all pushing for the second week, hopefully, of December to have the doors and windows. The doors will be right before Christmas. I just talked, it's nationwide in town here, so I've worked with Ron before and I know how they work and stuff. They're good operations, so. Other than that, it's good, it's going well. There's been a few little hitch and gittles, but there's hitch and gittles in any job you do anymore, you know, but if we just keep throwing. And like I said, Mother Nature reared her ugly head pretty early in the deal and thing, but there's a few pictures here if anybody wants to scroll. It's just what's going on the inside now. You can just scroll, and there's like three or four, but you can just scroll either way to see the inside.
Bob, can you talk a little bit about any of the soil corrections that were needed to be done, some of the work order changes, and how it is, like, when, since it's above ground now, we shouldn't have any other work order changes?
Nope.
So,
The change are, the big part is that, you know, they did soil boring, but there was only one soil boring in one area of the main building, so nobody knew. We just knew of a little area of 20 by 20. So when you go to a building like 50 by 50, the 50 by 60, it'd be the south end. We had to go down to basically 9 to almost 10 feet in a couple spots to get the good suitable grade and stuff, you know. And we had AET, American Engineering, out here. And then up towards the north, towards that tree, we only had to go down 3.5 feet before we had a good soil. So we ran into a big drop. So they kind of had an idea from one soil burn, but knowing not all 4 points, that's what kind of wrote a big deal in there and stuff, you know. So there's no way to know without more soil boring. So
when you get into the soil, can you just visually see that it's not good soil, or do you have to test it?
If you've been around a long time, you can tell. You can tell,
sure,
pretty easily and stuff.
Okay.
This here, because this is all, there's a lot, so much fill.
Sure.
It was brought in, you can see all the different layers. And then when we got into the light gray shale,
yeah,
then we knew we were into the original ground.
Okay.
But sure, there was a lot of stuff pushed in there from previous years.
Okay, sure.
Kurt and his crew hauled out curb and gutter and stuff,
okay,
on the one side and everything, you know. And then just as far as soil construction, as far as the water main, that one came about because of,
oops,
we took, that's right. Did you get to see what you wanted to see?
I did. I saw.
Okay.
For sure.
Did you want to see him?
No.
Okay. The water main, and that was, we started digging, and it's like I called Curtis, said, is there a water main here that we didn't see? There's literally down at 4.5 to 5 feet, three holes about this big, where the water was just pouring out of there. So we had a trash pump there that, with a 3-inch line that pumped for 5 hours straight. And so then I talked to Kurt, and I told Ted to Kurt, and then I said, city, and said, well, why don't we just move it over here and go straight in instead of going down and around and out, and you know, it's not going to affect the new road or the new proposals and stuff. So hence that's why we had to take that and then put it back in and start the new line, which it makes it easier for you guys in the long run. You know, and then we add some other lines to it to cut the one line that goes to the parking lot or to the field for the water there. It's all, everything will be in the building now.
It was unfortunate. There was an awful lot of groundwater there that probably weren't expecting.
It's like we hit a, I don't know, we were draining the lake.
Is it kind of like what we happened with the playground or no?
Yeah. Okay. But 10 times worse.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I mean, it's literally, I thought we hit. Wow. I thought yeah. we hit.
Smaller area too to work with than versus exactly. the playground.
When, Bob called me and I thought for sure everything was turned off into the island for water. And so I called utilities and they met us out there and we were just looking in the hole with this water coming in and said, no, there's no water lines out here. So it was groundwater. It was just rushing in.
What phone?
It's like someone turned on a, you know, like you said, three big holes about that big coming right in a water vein, and it was just shooting into the hole.
Out of the hill where that tree is.
Yeah.
So I mean, where's that seeping from? I'm just curious.
Just groundwater, and
it's not good drainage. It's just soil, number one, and then number two, it's not draining out.
Yeah.
It's all cooling.
Yeah, it's different kinds of soil.
Well, you'll hit veins.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened. It was, we never thought we'd hit one that shallow.
Yeah.
You know, we expected for sure, you know, at the other end, when we did the soil corrections on the south end of the building, we pumped there for 3 days. Because Swenson had a pump down there, because we went down an extra 2 feet, you know, just so the water runs that direction so we can do the corrections, and we just worked our way out.
So besides that, everything's been going pretty good. And I think, I don't really foresee much of any change orders now that we're above ground. We can see everything that, you know, there's not going to be any surprises anymore above ground.
But everything was within our contingency and everything, so we should be good that way.
Yep.
And then timeline, we're still on time to get her finished in May, towards the end of May?
Yes, as far as I know, the plan is now we're not going to start nothing until, we'll probably start the brickwork in March.
Okay.
The plan is now we're just going to go forward and get the building done. We're hoping to get the building done by the end of January. And then hopefully if we get a nice warmer March so the Double J can come in, because it won't take them long. You know, it wasn't really worth spending all that money for heat and cover for that little amount of block work going on there. So,
and we have to have this done according to the grant by March.
End of June.
End of June. Okay.
Yep.
June 30th.
Yep.
Okay. There you go.
And I think we've nipped everything else in the bud pretty well and stuff. And I've worked with Chapel Central and these other people, you know, just a few little things, but we're just going to make them work.
You did have one setback with your job trailer.
Oh, yeah. The first week that I moved it here, I pulled it here Thursday, and I come in Monday morning, the kids had broke into it.
Oh.
People?
Yeah, they were kids. They could get it. And I had some upside-down mocking paint pink, my whole trailer thing, and they painted everything. These guys still give me grief because my heart's. I try to get most of the pink off my heart hat.
He has a pink heart hat now.
But I called the cops, so they took my monitor, a printer, a microwave, and some small heaters, and they dumped. I had a dare bag with all my little tools and stuff, or stuff and pens and stuff. That was dumped over, so I called in the floor, so you could see if their seats are about this big because they stepped right in the pink marking paint, you can see the Adidas tennis shoes. So I called in, and then two of the younger police people come in, and I go, boy, you guys are right out of police academy. It must be your first week. They just started. They were having fun, and one guy goes, we've been trying to catch these kids all summer long.
Really?
But I don't know how they did not cut themselves, because where the steps are towards the building, they come up there, and they come in that window, and there was still glass on the bottom. and how they did not do that was crazy. But I went there,
so it was just a padlock on the trailer?
It broke through.
No, they went through the window.
Yeah.
So after that, then I put screens around it. Mm-hmm. Now they can't get into it.
You get the metal, expanded metal screens over top of the windows, and then you put up a couple security lights, which you think that really helped.
Yeah. And I've got a camera in the tree.
Can you park it anywhere close to the playground where we're supposed to have security cameras that are supposed to be feeding?
We checked on that, but we've not heard back if anything was on there.
Talk to Ross to check the.
Thank you. Yeah, Ross.
And he hasn't gotten back to me at all, so I don't know where we're at with that.
So Kurt had come in that day, so that I couldn't see that pink and the green grass, so they could follow the tracks up to the Guru building.
Yeah.
And I went,
Curry.
Yeah. Kurt, there's my microwave and a couple of my heaters. They must have got too heavy for him, so they dropped
it. Shut up.
Yes, it was. He asked him. He was sitting right there. So then, and then the bathroom right there, the big bathroom right there too.
Yeah.
The kids had dumped the can and the two paints and a couple of glass cleaners were in the toilet there.
Yeah.
So that's what I said to Kurt. I said I knew there was a camera on the corner, and I just asked him. I said, "Is that gonna be on that camera?"
Exactly. That's what we just brought this up, didn't we, Rob, at our playground meeting about? Dave Baker was curious as, are they getting the feed? Are they being able to see this? Is, you know,
what day did this happen?
So I started here the 23rd, I think, was the 9/25 or 23rd.
There's a report on it. Yeah. There's a police report.
So who drew the short straw to fish out the paint out of the
I never touched it.
We went back to my office, and Gary was on the phone with the porta potty guys to start picking up some of these porta potties from the parks. And I said,
"Don't take."
Just let them know that there might be some
some
surprises in the one at the Robins Island when they clean it, so they don't clog up their pipe or whatever. So I suppose that they probably come across that stuff all the time.
That's sad. It just unfortunately just goes into what you and Gary have been dealing with all summer. These are probably the same kids that were shoving the
sand in the pipes.
The pipes the plastic bottles in the toilets and probably in the up top of the roof.
Yeah.
And mine was just my camera. I got a trail camera in that tree.
Okay.
And I turned it and I checked it the other morning again, and there's been nobody going around the building at night. But they go through it, because I got two motion sensor lights on the trailer now. There's solar and stuff, so I've seen it lit up once before, but there's nothing that I could see in the camera. But knock on wood, so there's nothing been bothered inside yet, and it's all been looking good, so that's pretty good here.
And then throughout the winter, December, right, we're going to have a lot of traffic out there just for celebrating the lights in the evening.
We've already talked. Okay. We can open them gates up.
Okay.
And then we'll just turn them sideways and the people still get through there. Yeah. And I'll have it closed off so nobody would be...
Yeah, like for
to
your
go
trailer.
In, to go into that stuff here. That'll be fine all the way out of the traffic and stuff. We've discussed that already.
Okay.
No. That's quite sure.
Hopefully it should be smooth sailing.
Okay.
This year. Mm-hmm. We'll see for next year when they redo the road, but that's next year.
Has anyone got any more questions for Bob? It's been a good working relationship. It's been fun, and it's good work and everything that's going on out there. So
that's going good. Good guys, good
you
work.
Can
good
work. Definitely see it from the road.
Yeah.
Yes.
You come around the corner and look across the lake, now you go.
Yeah. And when the steel goes on.
I wonder who the drone is. The drone was out there this morning again. Somebody in the city's got a drone out there. They're going over taking pictures.
Bob, how many...
Does he have a drone?
How many feet would you say it is from the water's edge to the closest point and the building's closest point?
50 feet. Pretty close, 50 feet. And that would be the when you're coming out the back porch towards the lake. That's why we had to put the double row of erosion on it. That was that added charge with the double row. We had an MPCA... inspection there too, but we passed with flying colors.
Good.
So that was good. There was nothing there.
Yeah.
I drove over there today just to kind of walk around the building as far as I could.
I seen you. I was wondering who's this guy?
Another undercover detective
here and stuff. He's checking out.
Yeah, it was.
But he didn't have no monitor under his jacket or anything like that, so I go, darn it.
Well, Bob, thanks for coming.
You betcha. I'll let you get back up.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We'll get together and talk about that.
Yep, that'll be fine.
Okay.
Thanks, have a good day.
Thanks.
Next item on the agenda is Justin Wilmer update, construction manager at Risk and Architect. Rob.
All right, well, as the council approved the hiring of Marcus Construction to be the construction manager at Risk, so now the process will be for us to go through the RFPs for the architects. And the process of that will be each subcommittee group will designate two people along with three city staff people. I'm guessing that it's gonna be myself, Sean, and Brian, that it's gonna be the city staff that are gonna review the RFPs. So each subcommittee will volunteer two people to look at the RFPs. And out of there, we'll come together, and we'll have them all scored, and then we're going to take the top two or three architects that we combine the scores with, and those are going to go to the Invest in Wilmer group for interviews at that time. So then after the interviews are conducted, the Invest in Wilmer group will put their recommendation to the Park and Rec Board, and then we'll review it. And then it will be our recommendation to the Public Works Committee, and then to Public Works, then to the Council for the approval. Our goal is to try to get this accomplished by the Council meeting, the first Council meeting in January. So the process will go fairly quick now. RFPs are going to be sent out to those groups through the Thanksgiving weekend so they can look it over. And score them, and then we can get back together. I think the estimated timeline to do the interviewing would be somewhere around December 11th. So it's going to be ready to come back to us by the December 18th board meeting. So there was eight architects that sent RFPs in for the recreation fields and Swanson, and 12 for the event center. So a wide range of companies that sent in. So it will be a good process to go through. It's just exciting because now this is the next step. Once the architects are hired, they're going to meet with the groups to get their ideas and start getting things down onto paper and understanding how everything could fit. And that's where Marcus is going to come in as well. Being that construction manager at Risk is to work with the architects and making sure that we stay within the budget amount that we are allowed. So now things are going to start picking up a little bit more. I mean, we have an aggressive timeline that we would still like to see the recreation fields and Swanson to be done this year.
Yep, 2020.
So, yeah, next year, yep. By the end of next year. So the turf fields and how I think there's going to be some decisions that need to be made between the groups. You know, everyone wants the Taj Mahal, but it may not have to be that. There's going to be some decisions that need to be made of scaling back on this a little bit to gain here and that. So so those conversations will have to happen at the subcommittee levels.
Okay. So next year there's a chance that, well, three out of the six or seven projects. Of the
lost. Well, it depends on how much of the stormwater gets done. But it's, I think it's six for the recreational type of stuff. Well, it depends on what the community center, what the city hall.
So three out of, we're just starting to collect money here as of October, right?
October 1.
October 1 of 2019. And I think we're looking good to the community if we can have three projects done within a year.
Oh, that'd be, well,
yeah. Because Robin's Island goal is to be done August.
Oh, yeah, things are definitely going to be moving next spring.
Yep, recreation fields and Swanson fields will be done at the end of 2020.
Right.
We'll have three of the six or seven projects completed within 1 year. And our goal was a, what, and we're gonna be collecting them in our senior span, but we didn't really have a goal set, I don't think, for when these all had to be done.
Yeah, it's an aggressive timeline, but I think that's what the community and the public will want to see is us doing. The more that we wait, the things cost more too, so we gotta be, you know, smart with how we're gonna maximize those dollars. So, and with the recreation fields and Swanson, I would say it's a little bit more of a cookie cutter type of thing, because they've been done before. It's dirt work, some infrastructure. The event center is going to be a little bit more, just because talking to Matt Dawson, who's chairing that, we still need to kind of understand what we want out of that facility and everything. So we're trying to get some guidance from the architect about how that building should look out here.
And even Swanson has some
question marks.
Yeah, just because of all the wells they have to work around and whatever. And I'm just going to throw out, like, not to be a total Debbie Downer, but just to put it into perspective, that there was some definite pushback from the Four Seasons shelter, as far as, like, I think from the council's perspective of, you don't have to put a lot of this in here, Becky.
Don't get the rest of us mixed up in this now.
Yeah, but but you know, our marching orders were 600,000 for that Four Seasons shelter. And so then when we first came in with the 1.4 or whatever it was, there was major heartburn. Then it came back and it was kind of like, you know, we still came in high. We still came in at probably, what, 800-something for the building, 1.2 for the whole project. So the rest of these projects can't go that way. And what's already going to be an issue is each year the costs, like Rob just brought up, are going to go up. And then also now having to hire the construction manager at risk, which the philosophy is that saves you money in the end because they keep the cost down, they keep it on track where things can start to go, keep the architects honest, whatever. But that's, but so each one of the projects, and don't quote me as far as there's going to be the three, you're going to have to split the cost now. So if they thought they had $2 million to go towards this one project, well, now $300,000 of that is going to go towards the construction manager at risk. Or if the event center is going to take more of a percentage because they're a $10 million project. But that is going to cut into originally what their thoughts were of what they had budgeted for. Does that make sense?
No.
So if they, yeah. They, because I think of, like, even like with Robbins Island, you thought you had $10 million cause you, or $2 million or $3 million because you knew exactly this is what it was going to take for the roads, this is what it was going to take for the parking lots. That's what we needed. Well, you start to take $200,000 away from that, and that's huge. So we are gonna run into some issues here that we're gonna wish we had pumped $1 million on each one of the projects.
I agree.
Our cost is not as big, because we don't have that. We have Bolton and Mink, and so our we don't have that type of additional cost. But yes, we do have a cost with Bolton and Mink, but just not as high,
right?
Because it's a smaller project, and the scope of the work was done ahead of time with the mayor's task force and some of the drawings and planning. Now it's just tweaking. Yes,
but as much, I mean, I'm already starting to see, as much as I would love to see the different things the way we had envisioned it and how we thought it was going to go, I'm just feeling like we are going to be scaling back a little bit on what we're going to be able to. They're still fabulous. It's still wonderful that we're able to do these projects, but it isn't going to be an operation like the Four Seasons shelter.
And it's something different, because that Four Seasons shelter was pushed off many years, and that's why the cost kept going up every year. And it, we, as our committee, gave input of what we thought should be in it, but then the council, in my eyes, added a little bit of this and that, and that's why the price went up too.
Oh, I don't think the council added anything.
Well, air conditioning, number one. I still question that.
Oh.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, little things here and there.
Okay.
So if If we knew we had to stay on budget, obviously we would have said, well, sorry, we can't have this. We had to do it this way. But we were working with the grant money. We were working with matching money from the city. And I think I agree with you that, yes, the committees for the local option sales tax will have to stay within budget. And that's that, because there's no other way to find the money. But I think that it was a little different with the Four Seasons Shelter because of just the process that it went through over many years. And what we saw, or I think as a committee, what we wanted in it, and then what the council wanted to maybe see in it, and the community wanted to see in it. So, I mean,
I just felt like I was defending our decisions for some of it, and I still felt it was basic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't feel like we, but even some of that was how the price can get so high.
Mm-hmm.
I think that. That's just a good educational tool as we move forward, because it's definitely a reference, because there was even some reference from Rice Park to the Four Seasons Shelter. So there's a foundation as far as spending that's out there, and everybody kind of knows that now. There's not the demands that there was with the Four Seasons Shelter, where these monies had to be spent at a certain time. But even so, I think it's a very good foundation, and I think most people that are involved, if they're not aware of it, there's, you know, they should be, by all means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the Rice Park one went over budget. The Four Seasons Shelter went over budget, and it's just like, I'm just getting the marching orders are going to be.
There'll be no more money.
There's no $500,000 buffer.
Yeah.
For absolutely anything.
Yeah.
Well, forewarned is forearmed, so
okay.
People know it's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, well, some nights we get phone calls too, going, well, you said it was going to do this, and I thought you were going to see this out there, and it's like, no, we've got a budget to stay within. And it's kind of like, well, we went over, you set the precedent saying, well, we went over, and it was okay. It's not okay anymore.
That's just what I'm saying.
Rob.
We have told every group that you need to figure into your equation about 25% between contingency, architectural, and engineering. So if you take 25% right off the top, we'll just do the event center at 10 million, you take 25% of that, you take 2 million off, all right? So now you're down to 8, and then if they, you know, choose to do an outdoor covered rink, you know, that's going to take away from the event center then. So let's just say that's rough numbers, 2 million. Well, now you're down to $6 million for your event and rec center. So $6 million is $6 million, but yet $8 million looks a lot nicer for an event center. So it's just, it's interesting seeing the numbers come in from even when we talked about the recreation fields, the price of it, of the turf, and a bubble, and all the little extra things that come out with that. So it adds up real quick, real quick. And yeah.
Maybe that outdoor covering should be like an add-on in the future of a fundraising goal for another organization.
So that's why I say that the committees are going to have to talk about what are some of their priorities and how it can be funded, and making sure it's within the budget, because there will be no other dollars available for this. So, and I do feel like the groups understand that, but it's always good to remind them, because one group thought, well, we only had to do 15%. And I'm like, no, it's 25. And it's going to actually be just a titch more now with the construction manager at risk in there. So, but exciting.
Yep.
The process is going, and we're excited to get the architects on board to start getting our ideas on paper and having it come through this, you know, this board. And once it gets to us, we're in good shape. So
I asked Rob, actually we kind of met yesterday, and I wasn't sure how things were physically going to lay out with the event center. And it was to my findings that there's part of the fields, there's a pinwheel.
Yep.
And then there's also the soccer fields and stuff. And I was curious how this all lays out relative to this structure and the Cardinal Arena. And as Rob showed me, there's 3 or 4 conceptual ideas that are just kind of kicked around as ideas, and Do you mind just sharing that with us just a little bit?
Yeah. Back a couple years ago, 292 did a master plan for the Civic Center, where, you know, do we attach the curling facility to here? Does the curling facility take over the blue line? Do we build a new hockey rink? So there was a lot of conceptual drawings out here, and I think that's where a lot of this came about. We're on the south side here, putting the pinwheel softball complex there, and then putting the two turf fields out to the north side of here. Where does the rec center or event center fit into? So there's a lot of different drawings out there. I think we went to even option F through it. So about different concepts and everything like that. So I really think that's where some of this invested in Wilmer came from, and getting some of those dollar amounts. But that was a couple years ago, and as we said already, that those dollars are going to go up. So, and it's going to be interesting just to see how the architects get in here and find out where is the best location to have everything, to maximize the space, maximize the dollars, and yeah, I mean, heck, we can have the event center in the front of the building if that's the way that it ties in the best, or if it goes to the east side, or does it go to the north? I think dollars are going to reflect that. If you know, our goal is to have the, if the bubble is in place, to have that connected to the event center somehow. But is that the best use of dollars and everything? I mean, Kurt and I and Ryan went and visited some athletic fields down in the cities, and it was interesting because we talked to some of the maintenance guys down there, and we asked them the question, what would you guys do differently? So they gave us some of that input about, you know, snow cover on the dome. I mean, if snow's going to hit the dome, it's going to come off. And it's going to be onto the side. So there's that beam that you have that ties in the bubble into it. Some people go up the 4 feet or 38 inches, you know, or some go down to 18. Well, that's a lot of concrete to save if you go down to 18 inches. But what they want to do is be able to put their blade or their blower right next against that concrete beam and get it off. But where does that snow go then? Does it go over onto the other field? There's usually a 6 to 8 foot sidewalk path in there. So it was just interesting talking to those guys and understanding that some people keep their dome outside. You know, they just store it outside. Some say store it inside. The manufacturer will tell us to store it inside because the life of the bubble will stay. Well, that's another storage facility then that we would have to look at putting it in.
I think too, one of the...
I didn't know the bubble came off.
Yeah.
See them
up and down.
So another thing too that I found kind of interesting, talking about hidden costs, that they said that for the soil samples out here, and the soil corrections, for every foot that you go down for a football field or a turf field, it's about another $100,000. So if you got to go down another foot for soil corrections, you can pretty much kick out another $100,000. So it's a lot of hidden costs.
And
for that,
and talking to the turf guys, it's usually a minimum of 3 feet.
3 feet.
Ouch. How's the soil out here compared to Robinson?
So now you have to replace that with the gravel mix for the drainage and everything. And so it just those type of things that we learned and about the different type of turf and how much fill that you should have in as far as sand and rubber. So it was very educational. So we know a lot about turf now.
I think it would have been helpful if they would have had some of these discussions when they set
the dollar amount.
Dollar amount.
I don't.
Probably so, but they weren't. Wilmer wasn't going to get more than $30 million, right?
Yeah.
Who so knows? It was maybe just knock off one of the projects because $30 million is kind of pretty much a max number for sales tax, if the way I understand it, but.
Well, that's, yeah, that's down the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But that's the subcommittee groups that are going to have to look at that and bring their recommendations through us, and, you know, the council will make the decision.
You know, you could grow into something, so if you only have enough money, $10 million, but actually you have $8 million, you can only build this, but have the potential, I guess, to grow on. Not my project.
Or win the lottery.
Or win the lottery.
Well, there could be some other things too. There's booster clubs available that can be given some dollars too. And
we've talked about that too, about naming rights, stuff like that. You can always, you know.
We can try to be creative.
Yep. Jenny O. Benson.
Does anyone got any more questions about construction manager or the architect process?
If not, maybe we'll move forward to, we're going to delete Summer Ice. With the Trap Club, I was under the direct supervision of my wifey this morning to go out to the leaf dump and get rid of the leaves. So I drove right by the Trap Club and just got a good look at kind of how deteriorated those buildings are out there. So with that.
Oh, thank you. That's a nice segue. So, I know that last meeting we talked about the Trap Club and the range and everything out there. I had a conversation with Wade about it. He understood the concerns and everything about it, and trying to move forward with it, and just more and more conversations about how can we develop some type of a partnership to help them out. I'm feeling that they are losing interest within their board, and we don't want it to go to the wayside either, because it is a growing sport. There is great opportunity to go out there. So we discussed having a partnership of it. We can't do it alone. That was the big thing. When we first started talking about it, I felt like they wanted us to take it completely over. But then, you know, looking back at what we do with the indoor range, that club helps us out with the staffing of that facility when we have our open shooting. So to me, it only makes sense that if we're going to be in a partnership with the Trap Range, that they would help out with the staffing as well, so we don't have to cure those costs. And that's something that they would be very interested in doing now, is being the SROs or the range safety officers out there when we are conducting leagues or the shoots and everything like that. So that helps us out with budget-wise. I think our role would be, as far as with the rec department, would help them out with the administration and develop a structure for them. And so we would be the fiscal host of their revenue, similar to what we do with the indoor range, so we can actually see the revenues coming in and the expenses that would be going out. And what we do with the indoor range, it's a year-by-year basis. It's a 90-day clause if we wanted to get out of it. So I would almost say that we could mirror that, so it's very similar agreements. So we're not have one person saying this and that. I think it would be something for us to partner with them on it, but not get into all the meat and potatoes of developing a new facility and anything like that quite yet. The budget's going to have to be there to support that.
Can you share with these guys who some of the users or the groups are that use it?
Well, Ridgewater College has a Trap Range club now. Wilmer has one. Prinsburg has one. I believe Community Christian has one. There's a lot of potential to go out there. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the problem that's out there too is how it's structured management-wise. And I think if we can get some new blood out there, that the reputation may grow, be better. So. So I think it could be a win-win situation. I mean, I don't think it would be a bad thing for us to get into it for a year to see what it's like. And then if we say, all right, hey, this could work, renew it again for another year. But making sure that they understand that their support has to be there as far as the staffing piece goes.
So what are you looking at for what the level of involvement is? What exactly?
That we would do the administration. So we would take care of the registration of the team. So they would come in and we would collect their fees, so it wouldn't be on into their account, it would be into our city account. So we have all the names and everything like that. We would develop leagues for it, so we would have to structure that way. So if we want to do a men's league, a co-ed league, women's, a youth league, youth shoots, tournaments, that type of stuff, that we would hold that structure of it. And then we would tell them, all right, this is when we're going to have open shoots. If it's Tuesday, Thursdays from 6 to 9, that they would, you know, we would get the facility ready for them. They would come and manage it as far as making sure that they have the SRO out there. So and basically building the structure.
And they're in charge of maintenance and upkeep and all of that?
We would be in charge of probably mowing the facility and upkeep, that, you know, taking care of the mini biff and that type of stuff.
Which we haven't done in the past.
Correct.
So as far as, you know, building or getting the building back up to speed again, whose responsibility would that be? Because it's dilapidated,
yep,
deteriorated.
Yep, they would work with us with some DNR grant money, that they would try to get some grants and help us out to replenish those. They just received the DNR. They did DNR grants for the houses, but the shed area or the housing area is in poor shape. Mm-hmm. It would be something that would have to be budgeted down the road if we were going to fix that facility up.
If that needs to be taken out of there, who would bear that cost?
The city would.
If
we go down that route.
If we're that far.
I know. Yes. During the meeting, they also mentioned that there are a lot of grants with Ducks Unlimited and Pheasants Forever that we can apply for and try to write grants for.
So who's going to do that?
I would think
it would be a combination between the club and our staff.
So we're just going to see how this goes for like a year?
Yeah, I mean, if that's our recommendation, I mean, I know that in the like last meeting we said, you know, wait a year or two to see what happens. But we've come back to the table again and say, all right, if you help us out here, we can help you out there instead of just completely taking it over. That's where I think it would be a daunting task to take it completely over from scratch. But now if we can get their assistance in there with the staffing piece of it and start really kind of seeing where the revenues and expenses are and start developing a budget for it, that maybe 5 years, 3-4 years, 5 years down the road, then we can start putting money into that facility. I won't say putting any money into that facility right away would be a wise decision, just because you just don't know. But then if, you know, we find out 3 years down the road that our numbers and for the leagues and everything has grown, then we can, you know, look at it.
I like this idea better. Perhaps we should have certain benchmarks. If they are met, then we'll say yes. If they are not met, we'll say no. That way we get into this with the same understanding of why we say yes or no 12 months from now.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there isn't anything in the 2020 budget.
Correct.
Right now.
No.
And there's no expectation of any expense other Correct. Than administrative.
Yep. And there's some other things. This is still going to kind of be a work in progress here for the next couple of months, because if they turn their financials over to us, we would want that to be at a zero. We don't want to incur Correct. Any of their debt.
Yes.
And from what they're telling me is that they have a note out there right now that would be paid off by the first of the year, so they would have a zero balance. So just some of those financial things would have to get figured out and everything. So. But I wanted to make sure that we as a board are, you know, okay with this to move forward and talk about it. So, you know, it's going to be a discussion topic tonight at the Public Works meeting. And then once we get more details and everything and we can get an agreement in place and it can come back and we can review that and then ultimately get approval from the council to do it.
The land is not currently owned by the city.
It is owned by the city, yes, and is leased to them.
Okay.
So we'll be losing that one?
Just a whole lot.
So for next year, it would be mowing?
The general maintenance of the
facility. Yep. And porta potty.
Yep. So we cross our fingers that, you know, a thrower doesn't go out or something like that, but that if a thrower goes out and there's not money in it, maybe that house just goes down until, you know, we can afford it. Yes.
I don't know, and I'm looking at that building out there and it is in desperate need of shingles. I don't know if you can limp it along another year. So if that roof starts leaking, that will be on the...
If you don't know what the building is, if you just happen to go outside here on the north side of the Civic Center, it's the same building. It's one of the old school outbuildings that they had probably 25, 30 years ago.
It was over 20. At the middle school, right?
Yeah.
20.
Yeah. 20. The middle school has one still.
Yeah.
And so... did you have class in there?
I did not, but my classmates did, yes.
Okay. So that's
the special needs kids were right there.
So
he's not claiming.
But our building out here is in bad shape too. So I mean, we use it just strictly for a storage unit right now, but it would be nice to see that go. And it's probably going to go here in the next 2 years with the event center. So
I guess if I see this all working out great, what I probably see in the future out there is a pole barn style shed, maybe half of it a heated classroom and half of it storage.
Yeah. You know, one thing about the location, it would seem out there on the west, there's the opportunity for the trap range. People to bring in the communities around Clara City and Kirkwoman, kind of a regional.
Well, that's range. One thing that the club has said, that really from the border to, was it Monticello or Buffalo, that there's not much out here besides the big one up in Alec.
Uh-huh.
So we could be a regional draw for a lot of shoots.
What about New London? What facility do they
have? They have their own facility. I believe it's the one that's up by, it's at Prairie Woods Environmental Learning Center. I think they use the range up there, but it's a smaller range.
And there's potential, I mean, I do feel like there's opportunity here for us because it is a growing sport. That if it does grow, we have potential to go to the east and put a skeet range in as well. So, I mean, Wade said what there was 12,000 kids that shot last year up in Alec.
Offhand, do you have knowledge of approximately how many acres the city owns out there, including the brush site?
I don't know.
I believe that area that the trap is on is about 8 acres.
Uh-huh.
So that does not include the wastewater or the brush site. So there's a lot of land out there that the city owns.
56.
So total?
56 total.
So I think it could be a win-win situation, but I think it's still, you play it year by year.
You need to have just recommendation to now, do you have to bring it to Public Works?
We're going to talk about it at Public Works, and it will be a discussion topic tonight. So I wanted to kind of touch base with everyone here. Because of our previous conversation that we have revisited with the club, that, you know, do we feel better with this type of an arrangement than what it was before?
I would think so, and like Tom said, I think everyone has to have win-win for both of us. You make the benchmarks, we have certain benchmarks to make too for you, and go from there.
You're looking, it's a discussion item,
yep.
But eventually you'll come back with something more.
There'll be a formal agreement.
Yep. And then that would be, then we would take action on that,
yep.
And then it would move forward.
Yep, it's kind of more of the blessing to keep working with the trap club to develop an agreement with them for as a partnership.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, I'll move forward with the coordinator reports. Ryan, you want to start off?
Sure. Fall sports are kind of wrapping up here. Our basketball ended last week. We have one more week of indoor soccer. Football's done. And just doing some stuff with the Minnesota Vikings as well. They're going to come here for a camp in June, a 2-day camp. So I have a conference call with them tomorrow to kind of get it finalized. And go again for the Miller Park basketball court grant through the Timberwolves. Try it again, see if they can if I can get them to bite this time and get at least in the top three to get voted on. And then just preparing our winter brochure, getting our fall, our winter, and our spring. Already talking baseball with the boosters and softball, and it's hard to think about that right now, but mm-hmm. it's coming already, so.
So with the Vikings coming out, is that a youth thing, or is that for high school?
Yeah, it'll be like kindergarten through 8th grade, I think it said.
Okay.
So, and then instead of a former player will come, and then they'll send, obviously, coaches and things of that nature.
So no current players will come?
No current, I don't think it's that. I thought it said former, but.
Cool. Anybody else have any questions for Ryan? Eric.
We got adult leagues starting up, volleyball, co-ed, and women's are going right now. Again, they start their second week. Men's and men's basketball will be starting up in about 2 weeks. Trying to get a junior league basketball league going for kids that don't make the high school teams in the surrounding areas. I did get a 4-on-4 basketball league going. It's probably been about 20 years since that was going, so got that up and started again. Like Ryan said, we're working on the winter brochure. Out here at the Civic Center, boatloads of hockey going on, whether it's youth, high school, Warhawks, or the boys. Girls are doing very well, so if you want to come out and watch them, they're really, the front of their schedule is pretty home heavy. So there's a lot of opportunity to watch the girls' high school team. Down at the auditorium, we got a morning basketball program that we kind of, I'd say, inherited a little bit from Midwest Technology Camp. They were playing out there this summer. Something happened with one of the big rains, kind of took out their court for a while, but they like playing down at the auditorium now. So it's kind of a like the men's noon hour program, except it's in the morning. So we got that going on. And in an hour, there's going to be boxing down there, cardets practice down there. There's just a whole lot of things going on down at the auditorium and stuff. So it's a very heavily used facility. Also coming up first of the year, I've always got some tournaments I'm planning on too, a pickleball tournament, co-ed. That will be in December, along with a basketball tournament, trying to bring the Wilmer Classic basketball tournament back. That'll be in January. I'm planning a co-ed Valentine's pickleball tournament too. So,
I gotta learn how to play.
Bring your sweetheart.
Yeah. And then once the first year starts, I'll be writing letters to all the pro teams, the Vikings, and stuff like that to try to get tickets again for the Parker program. And, you know, just trying those different venues again. So last year was a late start because we got going late on this project, but most of them want letters out first of the year because they fill up fast. But, so that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, I know this is like way ahead of the game, but I'm just trying to, I'm looking to the future. Do we anticipate the event center with the new gym floor space and stuff taking that those type of activities out of the auditorium now? Going out to there? I mean, is that the, was that the thought process?
Mm-hmm. Rob.
I think a lot of it is for us to have our city league ran programs at a city facility that we can host them all in there. So let's just say women's volleyball. So if we need three courts, we have all three courts playing out there. So then it opens up the gyms for the schools. So the youth can use those for either if it's JO or basketball boosters, so they're not practicing until 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Okay, so you're still seeing a need for that gym space?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for sure.
Because every Veterans Day comes up with the display, mm-hmm. that, and it's out there, that could be a permanent home to that display and not having to be set up and taken down every year, that could be a war memorial museum kind of a thing. But that would only be if we didn't need the gym floor. Yeah. So that's my thought process.
And it is. It's. I mean, everybody's trying to rent it. I mean, so I mean, it's probably the best basketball. I feel, and there's a lot of people feel it's the best basketball court in town.
That's what I've heard.
As far as the flooring.
Yeah, like that. Especially since they replaced the lights.
Flooring?
It's,
yeah.
It's a cool
okay.
place.
The flooring's good. They just need to do a better job.
Okay. So the whole, the thought right now is, I just got to know, is, as far as this war memorial thing, that probably is not possible, that could ever happen.
From a citizen's point of view, I would say no.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, okay. That's
so
just
much
my
money
opinion.
On redoing that floor, you know.
It's,
right?
It's just
not,
a cool place.
We need to, you probably should be using it for, yes, for pickleball or basketball or... what we need to
maybe on a new community center though. Mm-hmm. It could
back
be home.
I will say that there's never enough gym space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good answer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah.
That helps me.
Mm-hmm. On that note. We had a really good turnout for our Veterans Coffee we had this week. Pretty much filled the whole Burlington Northern room if you've been out there. So
oh, wow.
And into the pool table area. So I think people were really excited about celebrating their Veterans of Day holiday, so they were still wanting to continue being honored and came out for coffee on that Monday again. And then it was SAIL, which is now our seniors active independent living something for life. It's their home builder program called SAIL. I met with them recently and they're currently doing 2 days a week and now going into the new calendar year want to go 4 days a week because their classes are huge. So we're looking at expanding that program into a 4 day program going into the new year. We hosted a painting party on Monday with Blue Canvas Ice or Blue Ice Studio, painting studio out of Clare City. That went really well too. We have many people asking for that to come again. I know they do a lot of programs with community ed, but a lot of the older adults didn't really know it existed, so I think they thought that was pretty cool and they maybe are a little bit of an artist. So that was fun to see. Also starting in this new year, we're going to be home to the Weight Watcher group. We'll be starting up in January out at the community center on Wednesdays. We're gearing up for Christmas. I'm looking for, if you are any bakers in the house, I would like Christmas cookies for an event coming up in December. I do have flyers if you would like one to remind you. It's on December 18th. We're having a jazzy Christmas party open to the public, so that's coming up quick. Any questions?
So how many, in your Monday morning veterans coffee, how many veterans usually show up?
Typically it's about 30 to 40, I would say, and this time I would say it's over 60 we had probably for this.
So
morning.
Is it more of the older gentlemen
mm-hmm.
that come?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's because, and their spouses come, it's becoming, people are having their own little table. They're going to the same tables I'm seeing now and meeting. It's their norm, you could say, for coffee, their new norm spot, which is pretty cool to see. Also in the past we've had, I think it was Navy, a group of Navy gentlemen were wearing their Navy hats one day and they then got to talking and realized they were in the same unit and they didn't know each other, but they met at the community center and
that's cool.
It was cool. Yeah.
But depending on your perspective as for age, there would be some Vietnam era ones too.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I went to the Legion, they do a vet's feed and
sure.
Holy buckets, you almost had to park 2 blocks away. And it was but like a lot more of the older gentlemen in there in
yeah.
the way. So yeah. Versus us kids.
Yeah.
any other questions for Britta? Rob.
Well, if you're looking at out the windows here, you can see Jeremy working on...
Wave at Jeremy.
On the Zamboni there. They work really hard to get this curling ice up to shape. And it's probably within an eighth of an inch perfectly level all the way across. So that's some of the reasons why some people think that we have the best curling ice around. So Jeremy John spent a lot of time on Wednesdays as far as dry shaving, getting the laser out, working on the ice, and getting it ready for the curling club. Because they do a flood and everything. If you saw what he did before, you know, he dry shaved so he could come back around so he could see where he's putting the water down and everything like that.
I was wondering what that was. Yep. There's no hockey on Wednesdays.
Yep, there's girls practice here tonight. So that's in order to get curling ice ready, we try to get it as completely flat as we possibly can.
Okay.
And then the girls come out and practice till about 4:30. Okay. And then we come back out with our part-time staff where they will zam the ice twice to fill in all of the grooves, and then they come back and do what's called figure eights.
Okay.
And so that helps get the ice back into it. And then the curlers come in to do their pebbling and scraping and everything like that. So it is a process to get curling ice ready.
It is.
Especially to the specification of our curling curlers. Because they are very particular about how they like to have their ice, which is fine.
Yeah. It's,
because, you know, we've set the standard about how it's supposed to be done. And so kudos to Jeremy and John. They do a lot out here with the facility, getting it ready for games and everything like that. So if you see them, give them a pat on the back, because they do a lot to make sure that everything is out here is safe and clean. And it's just interesting how people treat facilities. But
well, when you talk about, like, there's never enough gym space, just to let people know, since I have a kid in hockey, that as a squirt, typically they practice 3 times a week, but the last 2 weeks, because we're competing with all the teams and high school games that we've had a lot, he's had one practice a week the last this week and last week, I think maybe two, but or just one. So there's just not enough ice time for all the teams, for the Hockey Association, the Park and Rec, and high school teams, because then you got to figure in games at night.
Yep. And especially because we have three games this week.
And Warhawk, sorry. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's busy. I mean, we're from 3 to 10, we're jam-packed, and then Monday through probably, 9, 10 o'clock at night, we're busy on Saturday and Sundays with the Christian Hockey League and figure skating. So it's a busy, busy place.
Mm-hmm. So. Because then, you know, the mornings, typically, or maybe if it's, the rink is available, goes to the, you know, older kids that get up and maybe do it before school. That's typically day, and I'm sometimes PB, but not the squirt age.
Well, yeah, on Tuesday, the high school practices in the morning, because it helps out with the rec at night, and usually there's always a girls game or a boys game on that Tuesday, so.
Yeah. It's been tight.
Yeah. We get creative when we do some half sheet type of practices and everything like that too. So,
Well, it. I mean, this.
Well, you know it.
Well, this sheet and that sheet. I mean, they're just awesome. And a few. I was just out here yesterday again too. There's just some new signage as you come into the Cardinal Arena, welcoming you, and then as you leave, it thanks you for coming. You know, so it's just really nice and friendly and. There's arrows to go where you sharpen your skates or where the Warhawks are, and there's just been rave reviews about all the nice things that have been happening out here. So, yeah. Any other questions for Rob?
I think Kurt would maybe like to chime in on the Baker Dugout
Project. Don't surprise me now.
Baker Dugout Project. Because it's our last project that we're
going to do. I wish I had pictures. I'll bring pictures next time.
To kind of finish up for this this year, it's our kind of our last project that we're trying to get wrapped up, you know. So but maybe even chime in on how much was done this year, too.
Yeah, we battled weather again this fall with that project, and it was a challenge. We had some foundation issues. The water collapsed one wall that we had to rebuild. But once we dried it all out, got it above ground, everything went great. We had some weather cooperating with us. There was, we did have a plan, but we did deviate a little bit from the plan because some of the block layers thought it would be a better idea to do it a certain way, this way and that way. And so we rolled with it, and I think at the very end's a better product because of it. So I'm glad that they had a lot of input. And the block layers were the Nelson brothers. I don't know if you know who the Nelson brothers, but they're very involved in baseball, so they had some very good input on what a baseball dugout should be. And, you know, we asked around because it's not like every day you build dugouts. Mm-hmm. And I tried to do research on dugouts, and there's not a lot of stuff out there for how to build a dugout because every baseball field is different. The only thing that's the same about a baseball field is how far home plate is to first base and all, you know, the base lengths and the pitcher's mound. The fences can be different. The foul lines can be different. The dugouts can be different, everything. So every baseball field is unique that way. But like I said, once we got it above ground and we did a lot of work ourselves and we got the roofs on them, concrete's poured. The guys right today are building the benches, and after the benches will be done, then we'll be building the racks for the bats and the helmets, and then I think we're pretty much done until next spring. Next spring we probably will be repairing some fence that we had to take down, and there's some padding that we're going to be putting on the front of the dugout that can also be used as advertising, because I believe the boosters have the advertising rights on that baseball dugout, so maybe they can use that for advertising. Always, they look great. They look like a professional dugout, and maybe people who aren't really involved with baseball could care less, but
they look nice. It's a nice addition.
Very nice.
They look awesome.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
Will they support Barry?
We're not going to allow Barry to get on it.
Serious?
Serious.
Oh.
I don't think we've ever allowed him to actually get on it.
I do have photos on my phone from the rafters that were broke, and I would venture to say it's probably from the old dugout. And so I don't really want to go through that again.
Nice.
Although it is a better built dugout, mm-hmm. I just not want to go there really. But that's not up to me. Maybe that's up to the board. That's not up to me.
Barry needs to go on the keto diet.
Yeah. Maybe a baby Barry or something.
So Rob's got one more item, huh?
Well, because next meeting is December 18th, so it's right before the holiday break. Do we want to do something special, like bring cookies in, or your favorite holiday treat to share?
I was looking at the progress of Robin's Island. I thought we were going to have it out there, but maybe not after this.
No, I went over there.
Yeah, a little more time for that.
Just something, you know.
I would.
Because, I mean, it was our first year. You know, I believe it would be Rachel's last meeting as well. So.
And Tom's. And mine. Tom and I.
At this point, my term is up.
So. But.
There'll be an invitation for you at the meeting.
Yes. In order to come, you got to bring a goodie.
Okay.
A goodie.
Okay.
Some kind of Christmas goodie.
Yes.
Bring a holiday goodie to share.
So are you saying if I don't bring anything, I don't want to come?
No, you don't get anybody else's.
Yeah.
So with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Excuse me.
Do we have ice? Do we have ice out at College View after that email went out?
No, we do not.
Okay, that's what I was trying.
Oh yeah, sorry about that. Before we adjourn, does any of the board members have any questions or concerns that they would like to voice? Hearing none and seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion and second. Excuse me.
So,
all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned. Thanks.